Yes, yes, yes. Friday fun day. Styles and Watkins, second show.
Oh, yeah.
We'll stop doing it at, I don't know, once we get to 7 or something. But for
stop
now,
we're going to... Stop
doing the show? No, stop numbering that.
Ah, okay.
But number
okay.
two...
I was like, I wasn't sure what your contract was like.
Short stint.
Yeah, sure.
Short stint. You know, I'm in and
out. You know, around here, you never know.
In and out like a fast food restaurant. That's some NBA Street for you. Got a great show for you today, Styles and Watkins, as we get ready for, yes, the Warriors and the Kings.
Oh, man.
First game at home. Mm. You want a home beam?
Yeah.
Let's see if they can get it done. The keys to the game. How much it matters, because Allen will probably overreact and Chris will try to be the realist.
Yeah.
And I will tell him that you need to turn it up a notch.
Sorry.
Because it's a big one.
I'll try.
And after that, you got the Lakers. We'll get into that as well. And then you got the Warriors again, but we'll be back to preview that. Brock Purdy, like we said on the crossover, are the Niners riding dirty with or without Brock Purdy? Because I don't even know what's going on. You got it. You don't have a concussion. You got concussion like symptoms, right? Are you concussion adjacent? I don't know what the situation is, but you got on a full helmet and you're practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody else that's been in this situation hasn't been able to play. But I guess what Emil said to us yesterday was that they actually said to have concussions and Brock Purdy just has these symptoms. So we don't know. We don't know if it's Sam Darnold. It's just fluid. It's a fluid situation right now. And it's a Friday fun day. So we got to talk about this, man. I don't know if you heard about it, but there is a list going around.
Mm-hmm.
There is a list going around with restaurants where women will not allow themselves to be taken for a date. We're going to go through that first date.
I'm so glad I'm producing.
Would you look at that?
Very glad.
Would you look at
that?
We're going to get Simone's takes on it. We're going to get our... We have everything going on here today on this Friday fun day as we get ready for the Kings home opener. Chris, how was your birthday? How did you celebrate? I know you probably... Did you play the softball game?
I did play the softball game.
Well, you should have just lied to me.
I really didn't want to play.
I know we're establishing trust, but...
I was adamant that I did not want to play. Even when I showed up, I was like, guys, are we sure we want to do this? The only positive was it was early enough to where we got done with the game at like 7:45.
Okay.
And got food, got drinks after. And
what kind of food?
Went to this great spot called Pangea. Shout out Pangea and everyone who's ever been there. It's awesome. Ooh. Right next to Gunther's.
Okay.
Really famous
ice cream
spot.
Did they have the muscles?
They did not have the muscles. No.
Do they sell out?
It was not on the menu. But we did also show up pretty late. So it was, you know, they've got a great burger.
Sure.
Had some burgers, had some, I think I had, we had some table wings.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Always got to have for my birthday. And,
great.
Yeah, had some good times for sure. But, you know, unfortunately, obviously had work today. So had to keep it temper. But,
yes.
You know, tonight.
You got the weekend.
If the beam is going down tonight, it's going down tonight.
Hey, you know,
okay?
I'm
going
to be
up, I guess. Then it's going up.
Well,
there you
I got
go.
The
Thank
media
you,
pass
That's
officially in the building.
Yes.
Right. So, hey, you want to link up after?
Yeah.
We'll make it happen.
Down.
You know, it's all
down.
Team building.
Party
is what I call
at
it.
The beam is,
exactly.
what, I'm, is
okay.
what I'm telling everybody.
The beam party. So a lot to talk about today. And I see you on the YouTube chat. Thank you. As always, we got Jess saying, hey, can we get a Styles and Watkins intro? We're working on it.
Yeah,
it's loading.
Yeah.
It's loading. So hang on. We will definitely have that. And what the Suns didn't have last night was two of their all-stars and Bradley Beal and also Devin Booker.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like, for the most part, that KD was going to be able to will this team
Man.
With Josh Okogie and the crew and get the W. Then at the end, and I don't know if we're going to talk also about the rivalry or non-rivalry with the Warriors. And as Kings fans, who you despise more, the Lakers or the Warriors? Because I'm very interested. Being from the Bay Area, I saw some things last year on social media, last season, while the Kings were playing the Warriors that surprised me.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. But getting back to Lakers and Suns, dude, I'm so done with the Lakers, man. I cannot deal with it.
Yeah.
Because you have, after the first game, there was a lot of sound. LeBron, hey, I can play point guard. LeBron naming off, listing his stats, just ridiculous. And AD awkwardly sitting there.
Yep.
Just bizarre behavior all around.
Mm-hmm.
They take the lead late in this game. LeBron looks to the crowd, and they're just eating it up while Bradley Beal and Devin Booker on the bench. And I'm just so sick of it. It's like they lower their expectations just so they can come back and, oh my goodness, look what they did.
We beat the Suns
and the guys that we've all said they don't, Watanabe and all these dudes, this is who we beat. And LeBron's like, king me, looking at the crowd, king me. Man, sit down, dude. Can you sit down? I was sick to my stomach watching that.
No, that was a terrible second half. It was really, really bad. I think in that third quarter, there was a period where like both teams combined were, I think, like 6 of 25
bad
or something.
Bad ball.
It was terrible. KD was, like you said, he was trying to lead the Suns, but even he put up 37 points or 39, and Phoenix barely put up 100. They needed Devin Booker. Like, it was so clear and obvious that Phoenix team just needed anybody else besides KD to go to.
Right.
And even then, it was a close game until the end of the day. And, I mean, the Lakers, there was so much. They asked LeBron in the post game.
Oh, my gosh.
Did this game silence the haters after AD's quiet second half last week? And it's just, you know, it's good. Hey, shout out Lakers. Y'all are tearing each other up in the Pacific Division. That's fine. Let the Kings, you know, just feast on all that. But I also had an issue just with how the Lakers yesterday. I mean, you know, you win a gritty game for sure. Celebrate, but it did not feel like some crowning moment or
no.
This is the Lakers showing that they can go toe to toe with a Phoenix team. No, they didn't have their two stars, and they desperately, like, I think Phoenix wins that game easy if one of Booker or Beal plays.
They beat the B squad. They beat JV.
Really?
Right?
That's really what
KD
they did.
KD had to play with the JV squad. And what bothers me, because a lot of people have feelings, and later in the show we're going to talk about bandwagon fans. Because, look, I'm saying
they're
that
coming.
Every team has bandwagon fans. That's what I'm saying. And certain teams
comes
get
with success.
Yes, exactly. And it's good. It's good. I will give my take. Chris will give his on bandwagon fans. But I'm going to talk front runners right here because, look, a lot of people have issues with LeBron. I don't mind LeBron.
I don't
think he's necessarily as – I think he's very calculated, but I think when you're somebody like LeBron who's been in the spotlight since he was 16, you have to be calculated. But he is such a front runner. And you know why I know that? Yeah. Because I'm a front runner. When I win, I am in a great mood. When I lose, do not talk to me.
Yeah.
If I lose at Connect Four, don't talk to me. If I lose at Domino's, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
But if I win, I'm
talk
in a
to me
great
nice.
Mood.
Yeah.
Talk to me nice. Yeah. Hey, you want to go out and grab some food after? Yeah. I'll pay. That's who LeBron is. LeBron was so ready for that post-game interview.
Yeah.
He just had a twinkle in his eye and a shine in his heart.
Yeah. He does. I mean, he really loves praise. I think it comes to back to, you know, those Heat moments when everyone hated him. And then, you know, I think it's the moments where people talk about Steph Curry maybe being the greatest player of this generation. I think it all plays into some, you know, if I could psychoanalyze LeBron James, I definitely think that he really does enjoy moments where people recognize him and his greatness for what it is. And, you know, last night was not one of those moments that we're going to be talking about for, you know, at the end of LeBron's career. But it was a moment in year 21 when he just, like, he did take over that game at the end, you know, circumstances aside, like, he did take over that game at the end of it. And it's incredible what he's able to do in year 21. I know that was brought up countless times yesterday,
and
but
it will continue
in year
to be.
21, the fact that he's able to have the athleticism, to have that still in the tank. I mean, a lot was made of his minutes restriction in that first game. Played 35 minutes yesterday, threw that out the window. So I don't know if this is a good sign for the Lakers long term, but at least for now, it seems like LeBron is locked in, and he understands that this might be one of the last opportunities that he's going to have to put together a successful or have a successful team even.
Well, and that's why we have said, or at least I have said, that the Kings really do have a shot at this. And we heard sound from Jay Williams yesterday on First Take talking about how he thinks the Kings are the closest team to knock off the Nuggets. And it's because LeBron, the Warriors, they know they got to get off to a hot start because The injuries are coming. Yep. The load management is coming. Exactly. That's just where they are right now.
Suns are already there.
The Suns are already there. They couldn't even enter the season.
The second game of the year.
And the Warriors, because the Warriors aren't going to have Draymond.
Right.
So you got Kevin Durant, who dropped 39 on you. Okogie with 10.
Yeah.
Nurkic, who I don't know what happened to Nurkic, and maybe it's just a one-off. I remember him being much more of a threat offensively.
Yeah.
Maybe he's still getting used to playing with KD, but I'm watching the game, and yeah, did I have him on Prize Picks? Yeah, but it's not about that. It's about the fact that he didn't even look at the rim.
Yeah.
I was very confused about that. Grayson Allen with the six burger. Good for you, Grayson. Don't trip anybody.
But they need more. They need more when Book and Beal aren't playing. They need somebody else to step up the scoring load because – what, KD's 35, 36 now? He's not going to be able to put up 39 points.
That's why he's in
game
Phoenix.
50.
He's not in Phoenix to play with power dribbling Eric Gordon, dropping 15 points.
Eric Gordon, I cannot believe that fool is still playing the
way
he is.
I mean, good for the Lakers. A win is a win is a win.
I guess.
But you know what? It's just a little bit too much. Hey, man, it's just always an event with the Lakers.
For sure.
And I'm just anywhere you go, you see a Laker fan who's never been to L.A., who knows nothing about L.A.
Yeah.
They think that San Diego and L.A. are about 5 minutes apart.
Yeah.
They don't know.
No.
But they like the Lakers.
Yeah.
Or they like LeBron. I don't know which is worse.
I mean, or they just like Kobe, too.
Like,
that's the weird thing about Laker fans is there's, like, subdivisions of all of, like, there's Magic is the greatest player of all time camp of Laker fans. There's Kobe's the greatest player I've ever seen in my life camp.
Yep.
There's, like, actual Laker fans, which are few and far between. And then there's, like, LeBron fans, like you said. It's just, they're we're going to talk about bandwagon later, but they are, like, the ultimate bandwagon team. They're the ultimate, I mean, and they even play like, I mean, the players that they have on their team doesn't make sense. Like, I understand that the Lakers bring in Christian Wood. They re-sign Rui Hachimura. You know, they sign D'Lo. They sign Gabe Vincent. They're good individual pieces, but when you bring I just don't see how that team really comes together. And that's kind of what I'm still looking to see.
It's kind of like the land of not misfit toys, but weirdly fit toys.
Yes.
You know what I mean? All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, was I wrong about my Bucks take? Because Dame time, freak time look pretty darn good. That and more when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
We are back. Sacktown Sports, Styles and Watkins, second show. Getting you ready for Kings, Warriors. Getting you ready for Niners, Bengals. Look, we came in hot on a fun Friday fun day. Those cookies, man, what do you want me to do? I woke up in the morning. I'm like, okay, grab some coffee. I didn't have coffee in the pre-show, so we were chill. We were just, you know, getting it going. I get the coffee, and then on top of the coffee,
you can't double dip like that.
Then the cookies come, and you told me that there were cookies, but I like a coffee with my cookie. And now here we are.
With that, but it's those cookies are.
Those are the
sugar energy. Is through the roof.
We're amped. We're amped.
Yes. Ready to go.
We are ready to go. So I don't know if Sacramento has these, but anybody who's been to the Bay Area, it's you gotta go if you're into coffee, which I am not. I'm into coffee now that I have a child. I never really drank coffee like that before, but it's called Phil's Coffee.
Oh yeah, there's a couple.
Okay,
of them
man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those cookies were the Phil's Coffee of cookies.
Really?
Because after you drink Phil's.
You're
hyped.
Yeah.
I mean, you're ready to take on
Phil's
the world.
And that mojito one, you ever had the mojito drink from there with the mint?
Okay.
Oh, so good.
I mean, if you needed to run a marathon or a 100-meter sprint, I don't know why you would. You eat a cookie, you eat a crumble cookie, and you eat or drink some Phil's coffee, you're Usain Bolt. You're Usain Bolt now.
I would not deny. I mean, I feel like I'm ready to run right now.
A little jittery.
I hate running.
Yeah,
I need to like.
I feel like I'm gonna
get moving.
Palms are sweaty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little bit, but we're good to go. Still rocking with you till 2 p.m. And then after that, it's the Drive guys who are on location.
They are. That's right.
Beam Nation on location. That's Whitey and Draper. So we'll talk to them later on in the show as we look at the last two games of the four teams. Well, two of them hadn't played yet. The Suns and Lakers had, but the Bucks and the Sixers had not.
Right.
And we got our first look at freak time.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are talking about championship contention, I sat here on these airwaves yesterday and I said, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Then I saw it today and I said, maybe so. But at the same time, there was no James Harden.
Right.
And the Sixers had a lot of...
going to be.
I don't know. Yeah, and the Sixers, they might get fined or whatever because of the new rule where James Harden, he just didn't play.
Right.
He didn't get security. Something weird with James Harden. But the Sixers, you know, and I really, really like Tyrese Maxey. Ultimately, it wasn't enough. Yeah. Dame time with a dagger. Mm. Dame time with 39.
That's what he does.
It was a franchise record for a debut. So good on him.
Stats.
Now that you've seen however much you saw of the Bucks. What's the deal?
They're legit for sure, and it just really comes down to that Dame Giannis pick and roll. It's right up there with the Jokic Murray pick and roll, which is one of the hardest things to stop in the NBA. Like, there's just nothing you can really do, especially with how high they were setting those pick and rolls pretty much at the half court line. Like, you get Dame going downhill with a full head of steam. He can either take it all the way to the rack, or he can just his ability to pull off the dribble is second to none, except for maybe Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just incredible. And then you throw that with the threat of Giannis on the other side, and, oh, yeah, Chris Middleton as well. They're just going to be a really tough team to stop on offense now, which has been the opposite of their calling card. Defensively is really where they made their money and their bread was buttered, and it seems like the defense is going to be the thing that's going to be intriguing, not so against Philly where, you know, they're a lot more post-centric, but against a team more so like Boston where they have the two Jays, Jaylen and Jason. How do they match up with those guys, I think, is going to be the key for ultimately if they can make it to the finals. But they're definitely, to me, one of the best two teams in the Eastern Conference for sure.
Yeah, and the thing that I don't think enough people talk about in terms of Damian Lillard, we all know that he's only second to Steph in terms of shooting from anywhere on the court. But really, and he is a little bit older. He was never Russell Westbrook, but he could yam on you now.
Oh, yeah.
He definitely could.
So he had underrated hops.
Exactly.
For sure. Yeah.
So he doesn't necessarily do that at the same clip anymore. But what Damian Lillard can do that I don't even really think Jamal Murray does as well, because Damian Lillard is better than Jamal Murray, is that he gets to the cup and he puts a lot of pressure on you. What Damian Lillard does is the appropriate amount of foul hunting. Mm-hmm. It's not egregious. Right. It doesn't make you feel like he's manipulating the rules a la James Harden or anybody like that. But Dame knows how to get to the line.
Knows how to make the shot,
Still make the shot. So that is the piece of this to where, oh, well, he's just going to sit back and chuck a three. He can do that, but he doesn't have to. He can get to the cup. So when you have two guys with that threat, it's like running the option.
Yes, pretty
much. You know
what
I mean? With Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. I mean, what are you going to do? So, I got to see more.
Yes.
No James Harden.
Definitely.
I don't know what the Sixers are quite yet, and it was a pretty close game. After seeing the Celtics and seeing the Bucks, I mean, it seems like it'll be just them. It's a crash collision course for those two, but you never know. In the East, the Knicks didn't look bad either.
They didn't look bad, no. And, I mean, Philly didn't look bad, especially considering no James Harden. And, like, if they're going to trade him off, they're going to get, like, something for him. So it's better than getting absolutely nothing for the production of that roster spot, at least if they trade James Harden, even if it is just for something that we view as underwhelming, like Terrence Mann and I don't know, some picks or some young guys. At least it's like they can throw Terrence Mann out there and get something. So I wouldn't sell out Philly yet, but definitely, I mean, it's going to take a lot of Tyrese Maxey playing like how he did yesterday in order for them to be in that conversation still.
I remember there's a whole, I guess, group of young guards that I kind of put in a group together, and it was Tyrese Maxey, Anfernee Simons, Jordan Poole, and Tyler Hero. Because they all got that extension.
Yeah.
And they all kind of got the bag, right? Everybody was around there.
Yeah.
And out of that group, and I know Anfernee Simons is a little tough now because now, hey, man.
By himself. Yeah. He's going to do his thing. He's got Scoot out there.
It's hard to count him as well. But now I'm looking at whether the conversation is you taking Jordan Poole, Tyrese Maxey, or Tyler Hero.
Yeah.
Tyler Hero hasn't played, so, I mean, what have you done for me lately? It's hard for me to evaluate him right now, but between Tyrese Maxey and Jordan Poole, it was a lot closer in my mind last year.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey, and I don't know how close it is.
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, obviously, what Jordan Poole does best is just shoot the ball at an incredibly high rate. And when he's locked in, it's incredible. But I think Tyrese Maxey is the only one of that group that has, I would say Anfernee Simons maybe has a chance to go to another level. But to me, Tyrese Maxey, everybody, I've heard Doc Rivers talk about it since he's gone on this little media tour he's been on recently. He firmly believes that with James Harden gone, that's like green light for Tyrese Maxey. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's going to be a great opportunity for him to just kind of blossom his game and, you know, expand on everything, because he really is incredibly, like, there isn't really much on the floor that Tyrese Maxey can't do. He does kind of remind me of like a smaller Tyrese Halliburton in a way. Mm-hmm. He can shoot, he can facilitate, he's a good defender, he's a good athlete. I'm a really big fan of Tyrese Maxey, and to me, that's, again, I think that's where, if Philly is going to stay in that conference title contention, mm-hmm. it's going to be because Tyrese Maxey is like a 20-plus point-per-game scorer, and of course, Joel is going to do what Joel does.
So when I was in Philly, right, I was looking at some of the odds mm-hmm. because of the sports betting. It's allowed in Pennsylvania and it's not in California, right? So I just looked at some of the odds, and I like Kuminga for most improved. I think that was a good one.
Oh, I like Moses Moody these days.
Moses Moody right now. I also like Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
Keegan Murray for most improved. So I was liking those. Malik Monk, of course, for sixth man of the year.
Yeah.
But now I'm wondering, Tyrese Maxey, he didn't win one already, right? For most improved.
No, I don't believe so, no.
But now I'm thinking, he might sneak in there.
Yeah, especially if James is traded anytime soon or whatever, if Philly has success, I think Tyrese Maxey's, that guy can definitely go to like 23 or 24 a game.
Because as we slowly but surely, we're just teasing everybody, right? We're going to get the Kings Warriors, but we can't come off the top of
a 4-hour show.
But as we slowly but surely get into it, we're going to talk about how important Kuminga is because Jay Williams, again, had some things to say in that same clip. We cut it from yesterday because we wanted to play it today about what they have to say about the Warriors, and it ain't good.
Yeah.
It ain't good, okay? Mm. Your stock is either going up or it's going down, and Stiles and Watkins is going up, but I don't know if the Warriors is going up as well. I know the Kings is going up, but the Warriors, they might be standing pat. And if you ain't going up, you're going down. Got to get to a break. When we get back, talking more NBA, we're getting into the Warriors and Kings. And a certain player on the Niners says that he does not believe there'll be a drop-off if Sam Darnold plays. Let's get into it. Stiles and Watkins, we'll be right back.
Live and local. This is Sactown Sports.
We are back, Sactown Sports. Stiles and Watkins, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Second show officially rocking and rolling on this. What do you like better, Friday fun day? Or because it's really Sunday fun day, right?
Right.
What about fun? I like Friday fun day better than fun Friday. Right?
Yeah. Fun Friday's okay. Friday fun day just doesn't, because the fun day Sunday is what it is. That's a tough one.
We'll workshop it.
Definitely not a freaky Friday, that's for sure.
No, and let us know.
Hey now.
Well, freak time we were just talking about. And they did look good. Let us know, YouTube chat, text line, call in, help us out. Or just say Friday fun day is okay.
Yeah.
Give us a green light.
Yeah.
Give us a green light and we'll be all right. You know, we don't know is going to be all right, and that's Brock Purdy. And there's a lot going on. You said that Matt Maiocco on the radio show earlier today, saying that today is really the biggest day in terms of
make or break. Yeah,
whether we're going to figure
gonna play?
The end of this saga.
Mm-hmm.
Which with the Niners, nothing is easy. Mm. Right,
it was especially just, at the quarterback position.
Oh no! Yeah,
why would you?
Why,
right?
Why,
come on,
why would
why
it?
Why would you want solidarity and just, you know, why would you not just want to know your answer at quarterback?
No, it's much more fun this way, and it's good for us because it is more content. And like I said, somebody on that team, a very important player on the team, was involved in a couple important plays against the Vikings. One in which was a positive for the Niners, and one in which was a negative for the Niners, and his name is Charvarius Ward. And he had some things to say about Sam Darnold. He says, and quote, "I expect us to win, same as I do with Brock." He goes on to say, "Darnold's a seasoned vet. He's played 6 years. He came in the NFL with me. I expect him to come in and sling that bleep around." Close quote.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting interesting quote because, I mean, I would, you know, it's okay to say he's different and, you know, to say there's not going to be any drop-off at all. I don't think that's what Treverius Ward's trying to say, but it kind of sounds like he doesn't see a difference between Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold.
Right.
Which, is not what you ideally would like to be told about your starting quarter or hear about your starting quarter.
Well, and that's one of those things where how much of this is just, hey, I want to prop up my guy.
Sure.
And how much of this is, hey, you know, I've been, because there's been so much talk earlier on, right? When Trey Lance was still around and it was, when Brock was only the third string last year, people would hang out mm-hmm. and watch him practice, right? Is that what Charvarius Ward is alluding to? Whereas it's, well, Sam Darnold, I mean, we really like his arm talent.
Right.
Or is he just being a good teammate and just saying, hey, we're
excited. We don't feel down. We don't, you know,
exactly.
We still feel as confident with Brock as we do with Sam.
I feel like it's
for sure. Yeah,
the latter.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, he's not trying to. I don't think he's trying to make a statement there, but it is just interesting that kind of does in a way, mm-hmm. and it's definitely not Charvarius Ward's intention, but mm-hmm. in a way, it does kind of say Brock is good. What Brock's done is great. Are there things that Brock does really well that maybe not everybody has? Yes. But is he like a special talent that
right.
cannot be duplicated or replaced? No. That's kind of what I take from it. And I know, again, that's not what Treverius Ward is trying to say. He'd probably be incredibly upset that that's what
yes.
I'm gleaning from what his comments are, but it kind of is what he's saying.
Right. I mean, well, it's tough because you can't say, I think we're going to be trash because
right,
he's
of course.
Not playing.
Yeah, exactly.
But then on
we
the other
no
hand.
We have no faith in Sam.
Right. We
it's
have no
over.
Faith in Sam. But there is something when you say no drop off, I think is okay. You can take that and you can read too much into it.
Yeah.
Or you can just say, I think he's being a good teammate. Mm-hmm. I don't think Brock is going to play.
I don't either.
I think it doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't make any sense. I think that the Niners feel a little bit of heat.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I think they were really hoping that the Dolphins would have been able to beat the Eagles.
Yep.
And look, I'm not really a conspiracy theory guy, but a lot of people I am, right? I am Mr. Tinfoil Hat. But at the same time, I like to believe things are fair, right?
Sure.
And
yeah.
when the Dolphins had 10 penalties and the Eagles didn't have any, yeah, it's weird,
mm-hmm.
right? And the conspiracy theorist in my brain wants to say, yeah, but at the same time, we saw it happen with the Lakers, right? Back in the day, the integrity of the game would be done.
Yeah.
I just think there's too much on the line because nowadays I think it could get proven.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think there's way too much on the line for the NFL to just
sure.
play this stuff. You're going to make so much money just
for
playing
sure.
it straight.
Yeah.
To where if they were trying to do some conspiracy and it got found out,
yeah.
nobody would watch anymore.
No, yeah,
you can't.
Over.
That's a Schroeder leveled bag fumble
yeah.
if you mess that up, and I just don't
yeah.
see that happening. But you never know. It was weird.
I mean, it was a really weird game, and I don't think the NFL wants to get into that because yeah, I mean, like you said, no one would ever people would watch football in a completely different manner if they felt like it was fixed. And I know it's kind of became a bigger talking point with the Chiefs as well, mm-hmm. like with the Taylor Swift thing. Everyone's like, oh my gosh,
well,
when she's there,
Jason
you know, it's good.
Jason Kelce, the
same
Eagles.
Thing. If they could get that Super Bowl rematch again, they already made an Amazon documentary about it. Now imagine what you could do with Taylor Swift thrown into that equation. So, you know, that definitely it's become a more hot button conversation, but I don't think that it's part of it. But to bring it back to the Niners, it feels like it is again, we talked about it yesterday. It does feel like this is a little bit of a fear on mm-hmm. their side with them rushing Brock back, because the reality is, too, there's a bye week. They have a bye following this
yeah.
game against the Bengals. Why would you rush him back when you're about to get an extended break anyway? Why would you not just say, look, we got to cut our losses here mm-hmm. and we can't have Brock sustain an actual concussion in this game to where he might miss four or five or whatever, three games or whatever it might
right.
be. Let's just rest him. We have the bye week. He can be completely healthy going into, I believe, Jacksonville the week after the bye. Like, just set it all up for that. Again, cut your losses and just throw Sam out there, because I do think the history of this team shows Sam Darnold might have to step out there again. It might not be a bad thing if he gets some reps in before you absolutely
need
him.
No, that's a great point.
Possibly later in the season.
That's a great point, but the more I hear you talk about maybe rushing Brock back a bit, it makes me feel like the opposite of what Charvarius Ward said.
Right.
Because if you don't think there's going to be a drop-off, and this is Charvarius Ward, it's not Kyle Shanahan, any of the members of the coaching staff or the front office, but if you don't think there's going to be a drop-off, why rush Brock back?
Right.
That tells me that, I don't know, maybe Kyle Shanahan has not
loved what
he's seen
from Darnold
in practice. Now, is that worth risking? It's a double-edged sword because Absolutely. Is that worth, you're going to rush Brock back and it gets worse? Now you have to throw Sam out?
Right.
So I think it makes more sense for what you said to just say, hey, it is what it is. If we catch the Eagles, we catch them. We still have a head-to-head matchup with them.
Yeah.
So we can still
right.
get our
catch
get back.
A game. Right.
You know what I mean? At some point there, the Eagles still got to play the Cowboys twice.
Mm-hmm.
So
true, right.
I would say the Niners NFC West right now is a little bit, it's tough. I don't know. The NFC West has they're both
it's got pretty, some scrappy teams.
They're both two team races, right? I mean, the Seahawks, and I would say the Rams are, I guess,
scrappy. Yeah, and who knows what
Rams
if
are
Cardinal
the Commanders
comes back
essentially.
Or what the Cardinals are going to look like if Kyler comes back.
That's true.
How dangerous they'll be. So I mean, the Niners definitely have. I think they have both of their matchups against the Seahawks. They still have another Rams matchup, and they still have another Cardinals matchup as well on top of those Eagles and the Jacksonville, and so they have a tough schedule ahead, which they're going to. I don't know. I also wonder at what point, too, do the Niners kind of, I guess you can't do it until it's completely out of reach, but at what point are you like, you know, the number one seed, the home field advantage, it'd be nice, but we shouldn't risk it all. We shouldn't throw McCaffrey out there when he's not healthy. We shouldn't rush Debo back just in search of trying to get that home field advantage. At what point is it, hey, I think we showed enough through the first 5 weeks of the season to where we feel like we can beat anybody when we're healthy, let's just make sure that we're healthy at the end of the year.
Right.
If I'm running the Niners, that's what I'm going to try and put first and foremost.
You can't. Yeah, I just don't think it's worth the risk. All right, got to get to a break. The number is 916-339-1140. When we get back, Chris is going to, I'm a new, Sacramentan. Chris is going to describe to me the buzz of the city when there is a big Kings game. And we want you to be a part of it, too. 916-339-1140. How amped are you for this Kings game? Is the buzz in the air? It was a little
home
brisk
opener
this morning.
Come on.
Okay, was that just the feeling of it's going to be a cold night
wind
for the Warriors? A cold night. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
We are back, Sacktown Sports. A little bit of Niners talk right there. Styles and Watkins take you up to 2 p.m. And the YouTube chat is on fire right now as Manny Too Legit is... Oh, no, CK916 had some things to say, Chris, about your Niners take. And not going all in now
is
to try to get home field advantage.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that it's... am I saying the Niners should just essentially, load manage their way to the playoffs? No. I just mean, with right now they found a bad run of injuries. They've got Debo with a hairline fracture. Trent Williams got injured, has already been injured twice this season. Hasn't missed, I don't think he's had to miss a game for it, but McCaffrey obviously going through his injury, and now Brock with his head. It's like, and Dre Greenlaw's missed time as well. It's just, I just think the most important thing is being healthy at the right time. And I just definitely don't. It's more so I don't find the urgency that the Niners have to win these games. Like, obviously, would it be great to. It's a good test to go against a Bengals team that, who knows, maybe they will turn it around and be one of the finalists in the AFC this year. But it's a good test, potentially. But I don't think you need it. Again, I think you've shown that. You might not be who you were the first 5 weeks of the season at the end of the season, but just from a talent perspective, if you guys are clicking and you guys have enough people healthy, there's nobody in the NFL talent for talent that can keep up with you, except for maybe the Eagles. And you're going to have to face that challenge at some point anyway. Mm-hmm. obviously you'd love to have that in Levi's, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to beat that team anyway. And obviously, again, obviously it would mean right. much better. You'd feel better. You'd have the home field advantage. You'd have the odds in your favor. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's football. You roll the ball out there or whatever. You want to put the ball out there and best team wins.
As I sit here in my Temple crew shirt,
yep.
right, and I watch that. Thank you. I have to wear it on days where they are not playing football because it's abysmal. Yeah. It's just a terrible look. Yeah. And I watched that Eagles game while back in PA.
Man.
I got to tell you, man, and I don't know if it was because of the weirdness with the penalty difference between the Dolphins and the Eagles. A lot of people left that game thinking, wow, the Eagles, they can win all these different ways. I still do not like the Eagles' offense.
Yeah,
I still think that offense is somewhat broken. Yeah. And you can't tush-push your way to a Super Bowl and win it. You tush-push your way to the Super Bowl. I don't see it right now. Yeah. Jalen Hurts.
He's playing bad.
He's missing throws.
9 touchdowns, 8 picks.
Throwing interceptions. Yeah. They're clearly missing the offensive coordinator that left,
right.
Steichen. So I personally believe that both fully loaded – I don't care if you play in Santa Clara. I don't care if you play in Philly. I don't care if you play on Mars. I got the Niners.
Right. I kind of feel the same. I mean, just with where we've seen both of those teams so far with whatever you would say their best performance is, I just don't. I think the Niners are a more talented team. I think they're more explosive. And I think really it comes down to their defense being able to limit explosive plays.
Like
the past 2 weeks, especially against Minnesota, I mean, there were so many explosive plays. The Jordan Addison strip score or whatever you want to call that. They have to be better at limiting those plays. And that's what happened against the Browns as well. It was, you know, one long pass to Amari Cooper kind of busted it open. And they just – it's really, to me, more so on their defense. And their defense, for the most part, has been relatively healthy. I think it's just they need to step up. The talent there, you know, I know Bosa's gotten a ton of pressures. He hasn't been able to reach home as well as he has in the past. Hargrave has gotten to the quarterback early in the season, but has been quiet. Armstead, I love Eric Armstead, local guy, but I haven't seen him at all this year. And I think the Randy Gregory, the defensive line is not the problem to me. Kirk Cousins was able to just dice up that defense. And I've been saying, you know, definitely Daniel Jones and P.J. Walker and Josh Dobbs didn't look like Patrick Mahomes, but there were moments where those guys were able to move the ball down the field on this team. And for a team that's supposed to be one of the best, if not the best defense in the NFL, I just don't think you can have those moments. I think that you need to completely shut those guys down. And I know P.J. Walker had 2 picks and Daniel Jones didn't have a good game, but to me, you can't even give those guys a chance. Like, you can't give them any momentum. And I think that's kind of what happened in the Vikings game is they just let the momentum go too much in the Vikings' favor. And I think the same thing kind of happened with the Browns' offense as well.
Well, I think when it comes to going back to basketball, as they say, leapers like to leap.
Yeah.
I think, and Steve Wilks came out talking about the zero blitz before the half, which led to that touchdown. And he said, I wish I could take it back. And they asked Nick Bosa about it. They asked guys about the amount of blitzing that they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think we're realizing that, yes, you have a bunch of weapons on the defensive line, but it's still a blitz. Mm-hmm. And if you get somebody like Kirk Cousins who doesn't necessarily freak out when he sees the blitz coming because he's a veteran and he knows what he's doing, you're going to get burned if you don't get to the quarterback, right? So I think in Steve Wilks' mind, he's thinking, with all the names that you just laid out, how do we not get to the quarterback?
Exactly.
But they're not getting to the quarterback. So you have to, instead of saying, we'll get there eventually, you have to decide, hey, we're going to go about things differently. So I don't think that they will do the same thing that they did. I don't think they'll repeat the same mistakes. I think I'm very interested to see because Joe Burrow, I still don't think he's 100% from that calf injury. So he can't run around too much. Steve Wilks' eyes might get big again. Let's go blitz, blitz, blitz. But he'll dice you up too.
Like, wasn't the whole point of getting this elite defensive line so you didn't have to blitz? Wasn't that kind of the Niners calling card the first couple weeks?
Was
they were barely blitzing at all and still getting home? And to me, again, yeah, like the issue these past couple weeks has been the coverage, and I think you're totally right in pointing out when you blitz, you're taking a man out of that coverage, mm-hmm. and to me, it's a lot more important. I think the Niners front four can get home. If you give them 5 seconds, one of those guys will get to the quarterback.
Right.
It's just about being able to protect down the field and making sure that those long, explosive plays can't happen. And it's they've just happened way too many times these past 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I understand, you know, everybody is still trying to figure out, okay, what works and what doesn't. But to me, that's just as important as Brock Purdy playing or not. If you don't have time to waste and you're trying to get Brock on the field, then we can't sit here and say, okay, well, Steve Wilkes still get there's still an adjustment. There's no time for that.
No.
There's no time because
same thing with Jake Moody. It's like there's no time to figure thing out. Like this is a Super Bowl now team.
Yes.
They don't have time for you to figure out the defense. Mm-hmm. Like they don't have time for Jake Moody to figure out his comfort level with mm-hmm. kicking in big situations. The talent is there for the Niners. These are the risks that they have decided to take, and they're just really dangerous or scary risks to take when you're trying to win a Super Bowl is bringing in, and it wasn't their choice, obviously. D'Amico Ryan's pretty mm-hmm. much got plucked from them, but when you bring in a new defensive coordinator and you have a rookie kicker, those are two massive, massive, massive risks when you're Super Bowl ready. And that's just kind of the game the Niners are playing right now. And I think it's, again, that's to me the reason why they've lost these two games is obviously because of the leg of Jake Moody in that Browns game, but also Steve Wilkes still trying to figure out this defense because he's new to it as well.
Where are you at on the Steve Wilkes being in the booth and not on the field thing?
I understand why from a hype perspective, mm-hmm. like, because I understand, like, Steve Wilkes would want to be in the booth because you get the bird's eye view. You get mm-hmm. to see literally everybody. But from what I understand, Robert Saleh was on that sideline. D'Amico Ryans was on that sideline. And we know Kyle Shanahan, not personally, but we've seen Kyle Shanahan yeah. enough to know he's not a rah-rah guy. And
no.
I think that defense is just, I mean, you know, their physicality has been the story of that defense for the past couple of years, but also just the intensity. And I think that their defensive coordinators there's a direct correlation between the hype that Robert Saleh would have on that sideline where they pretty much had to hire hold me back guys
right,
for him
right.
to keep him off the field. And D'Amico Ryans, who, you know, is a former player, former middle like linebacker, knows what it's like to be in that locker room and how to get those guys riled up. In that sense, I could see why there's a debate on whether or not it's okay for Wilkes to be on the sideline, because I do think, just as a team in total, they need some sort of firecracker on that bench. And it's not the end-all, be-all, but I definitely think when things are going bad, you mm-hmm. need that fiery guy on the sideline who's just going to pump everyone up.
Well, it's kind of like a culture fit thing for me, right? I'm looking up here the ages, and you had D'Amico Ryans,
right.
39.
Right.
Right, Robert Saleh's 44, and Steve Wilkes is 54.
Right.
So if you look at Pete Carroll, right, I guess age doesn't matter, but Pete Carroll is a vampire. He's a bit different.
Yeah.
But even so, just the culture fit in terms of what these guys are used to. They're
mm-hmm.
used to, I got a pick, coach, and running up to your, like it's Coach Boone
exactly.
from Remember the Titans. Did I do good, coach?
Yeah.
Good job, Petey, right? But they don't have that right now.
Shout out, Petey.
Don't drop my football.
Great cornerback, though.
Great corner. And let's not forget Ryan Gosling. Every time we got to bring it up.
Oh, yeah.
A liability at cornerback. Just a complete,
just complete
liability.
Right.
I don't care how good he is at all his other roles.
Yep.
He was a liability at the cornerback position. You got to talk about that every time we talk about Remember the Titans.
Yep.
But, you know, there is something just what you've been used to. And if whether it's Bosa after a sack or anybody, because you see they're still doing that. And you look at the coaches nowadays, and that's really kind of what it is. Shanahan is more chill, and Andy Reid is
sure.
a legend, so he's a legend. But if you look at these guys and a lot of these coaches, the Dan Campbells, this is a hype sport, and I think these athletes in this newer generation, they want you to get hype. Hey, coach, mm-hmm. meet me at that level. Robert Saleh.
Turnover chains. Like
turnover chains,
stuff, yeah.
right? And Steve Wilkes being up there, I'm not saying that's why things aren't working out, but it is a different situation
for sure.
than it has been in the past. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, Chris is going to describe to me how everything's going to go down tonight, what I should be prepared for, and whether there's anything else like it in the United States of America when it comes to sporting events, a Kings home game at the Golden One. That and more when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.